Vignette number 70 from Zen is Right Here, Teaching Stories and Anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. One Saturday morning, a student arrived late for the beginning of a sesshin. He was Suzuki Roshi's first ordained student to wear the traditional priest's robe, the okesa, in America. After breakfast, Suzuki took him to task in his office, saying, "Priests don't arrive late. You're no priest. You have no right to wear that okesa." The student was mortified and started to take off his robe. "What are you doing?" said Suzuki. "No one has the right to tell you to take off the okesa." That was Graham Betsche in 1964. Yeah. Graham was sort of like the model for people who came. He picked up on sitting well right away. He talked about a nagging question. He stated it something like that he'd had for a few years. And you know, in England, he'd gone into an Episcopal monastery of sorts, and didn't find that rewarding. So he went to Rome. Pretty naive. He went to Rome, thinking, well, that's where the true way will be, and was shocked at the corruption that he found in Rome. You know, he wanted to be like a contemplative. I think he didn't do his homework well enough. Anyway, in Rome, he ran into Pauline, and they became quite close immediately, first day. And he met her mother. And Pauline's mother was a theosophist. She had a wonderful library. And, you know, Pauline, growing up, had met, you know, people like D.T. Suzuki and Krishnamurti. And then Graham found something that really made sense to him. And he just devoured books in her library. And then they went to San Francisco. They took a boat to San Francisco, and they brought a Buddha with them, which is funny, on the boat. And he tried to meditate, you know, sitting in a chair all the way over on the boat. And they got to San Francisco. They went to the Buddhist Churches of America, a Jodo Shinshu church in Berkeley. And that's when he heard about the Zen Center. And he went to the Zen Center. He called up and went there, and you know, Suzuki told him to arrive at 5. They weren't sitting at 5 then. He told him to arrive at whenever they were sitting, 10 till 6 or 5:30 or whatever it was. And they only had one period in the morning then back in... This is 61. And so Suzuki told him to come when it started, but you have to get there like 10 minutes early, 15 minutes early. So when he got there, the door was closed, and he was mortified. Well, perfect for him, because he was, you know, sort of a stuffy Englishman. His father was a Coldstream Guard, one of the Queen's Guards, you know, about as proper British as you could be. So immediately he was uncomfortable. He was dressed in a suit and shocked when, you know, Zazen, he just waited in the office, shocked when Zazen ended and he saw all these people coming out and bowing to Suzuki, who were just dressed in baggy clothes and stuff. Not, you know, he'd he had said at the briefly. They only at the what was that group in London called that Christmas Humphrey started, the London Buddhist Association or whatever. And people who went there were dressed in suits and ties and proper dresses. Christmas Humphreys had told him that Westerners shouldn't sit, shouldn't practice meditation over 10 minutes or they can go crazy. So anyway, yeah, in those days, this was all new. So anyway, so he starts talking to Suzuki and he's very proper. And Suzuki immediately said, well, let me show you how to sit. And sit. And then that did it. He could sit right away. He just, nobody had shown him. Some people arrive being able to sit. It wasn't hard for me. I could get into half lotus right away. And I got into full lotus very soon. My sister was like that too. She came, she only practiced with us, you know, half a year or something. But she right away, she sat a whole session in full lotus without moving. Some people can do that. So Graham was like that. And he was a really, really good example. He was bolt upright. He sat at every period. He never moved. You know, he took it very seriously. And he was, and then, you know, a month or two or three or however long after he arrived, Richard Baker arrived. And Richard saw in Graham an example. And he followed Graham's example, except Richard had the obvious, the opposite situation. He had a real, and they're both were sort of tall, thin, sort of ectomorphs types. That Richard had a real problem, you know, with half lotus. He couldn't get into half lotus, and but anyway. So when Graham first sat, Suzuki sat to him first time. He said, you take very well to sitting. So Graham was the first. No, he wasn't. Gene Ross came before him, went before him to Aheiji. But then he was sent by Suzuki to Aheiji. And it's sort of like sending somebody to the Vatican. it was really hard on him. But he was there two practice periods, and he was sick a lot and, you know, suffered from malnutrition. And he, you know, the people who want to do everything right, correctly, and not break any rules are, you know, have a hard time. The people who eat a little food on the side would survive. He found a teacher he really liked over there. Another Soto Zen teacher. He met the great Koto Suwaki when Suwaki was dying, set the 49-day sesshin with them. And he'd had some back problem. He'd had his back go out. And the 49-day sesshin, his, you know, he'd been told by doctors in an operation he had to lie down. He set the sesshin and it corrected itself while he was sitting. Then he became a student of Uchiyama, who was Koto Suwaki's successor, Kosho Uchiyama. And there, that's the opposite of Aheiji, you know. Very little ceremony, if any, you know. But just sitting. It was sort of a zazen-only place. And just no nonsense, very straightforward. You know, he came back to Zen Center and was there a year or so, and then he went back to Japan and continued with Uchiyama as a teacher, and he got into business. We were working for Rawlings, the sports company, and different things. So we lost him at Zen Center. Suzuki wanted him to come back and be there at Tassara, but he'd moved on. And, you know, people say when something like that happens, they'll say, oh, that's too bad. Oh, he quit. He didn't continue this and that. No, No, he got what he wanted out of it and he moved on. You know, it's like, but I'll tell you, in Japan, they're like that. Is some monk can be at one of these practice temples for years and years, and if they finally decide they've had enough and want to go somewhere, they quit. You know, they're a loser. That's not the way I look at it. The way I look at it, it's like going to school. You go as long as you want, and it works for you, and then you move on. And I know people have other points of view. But anyway, we keep going. We practice forever, every minute. So no one can tell us we've taken off our robes. I haven't worn a robe in, I don't know, since I was in Japan in 19... Since I left Japan in 1992, I haven't worn a robe. But I have a virtual okayso on. And like Suzuki said, no one has the right to tell you to take off the robe, or that you have taken it off, or that you've left or quit or whatever. You're still on the path. And as Buddha said, we're all destined for Buddhahood. Okay. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett Bandita, Feline Kachita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening. Thank you.